About a year or so ago, so Paul and I went out into the district. Name of the d district, so Paul? I forget the name of the district now, but anyway, we went out there and we met Brian Seawald at the Temple Garden Foundation. And we were interested in and mindful, respectful of some good work that he was doing there. And time passed for a little while. And then one of our good donors to the Southeast Asia Foundation asked me, "Hey, do you know Temple Garden Foundation? Do you ever run a bunch of Okosha? I know Brian and blah, Bjorn and blah, blah, blah." And, well, then they wanted to make another donation. So that was really nice. And that got so Paul and me reconnected with Bjorn. And in the course of that getting reconnected, Bjorn started talking to us about biogas units. And that's not something that we've run across much in Cambodia so far. I did when I was early on working in Indonesia, and it was a creative way to turn animal waste into cooking gas and save on wood, charcoal, saving the forest, saving a lot of labor going out and getting all of those materials to burn, and keeping a lot of smoke out of the kitchen, out of the house. So we thought that might be an interesting topic. So we asked Bjorn if he would talk to us a little bit about that this evening. He agreed he would. And since some of you, Bjorn, I think you said you know some of the people here, maybe some of them you don't. You might take just a minute or two and tell them where you are at Temple Garden Foundation, what you do, and then when you're ready, do a screen share, and we'll all look forward to learning something about biogas generators.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bill, for your introduction. And hello, everyone. And I'm pleased to meet you, everyone here. My name, as Bill said, my name is Bjorn Seewald. I'm the country director at TGF, Temple Garden Foundation in Siem Reap. We are working in Chikreng. I will go a little bit further in our work when we come to our presentation, because I have 1 minute also there to cover it. So I live in Cambodia for over a decade now. I was first based in Kampot, and now since over a couple of years in Siem Reap. And actually, the words Bill said towards me, I have to give it to my team. My team is out there in Chikreng for 15 years already, and they're doing an amazing job. And I hope one of our projects, which I delighted to show you today, hopefully we can replicate it to other NGOs and to other parts of Cambodia as well, because we really believe it's quite a sustainable way of cooking in rural Cambodia. I have some presentation prepared, which I will share, but I would love to, if it's okay, I don't know if that is a usual case. I have also, we got some video material. I put a video of 2 minutes together. I would like to show that first, if that is okay as well.
Of course.
To give you, yeah, perfect. That gives you a little bit of an overview. Then I jump into the presentation. And I think whenever you have a question right away, either you just let me know during the presentation, otherwise, it's also possible, of course, and afterwards. So let me just try. I
Now
start to share the.
we practiced before.
We practice, exactly. So now I try to get to the video first, and I apologize. I did it yesterday, and it's with an open source. So there will be a tiny little water logo on the bottom right side of the video. But let me see how we practice. Yes, that's correct. Perfect. So I think everybody can see the video screen right now, right?
Yes, we can. You did that quite well.
Perfect. So it's a 2 minute video. I just let it run one time and to give you a bit of an overview.
All right. Now, I'm not hearing sound.
The sound is not too important. It's just the music in the background.
Okay. All right.
All right. So that's just to get you a little bit informed on what the topic is about today. A cleaner solution on cooking in Cambodia, in rural countryside. I'm sharing now my presentation. Give me just 1 second. Bella. So I think everybody can see it, right?
That's yeah, cool. Now we can see it full screen.
Perfect, perfect. Get this one. So yeah, biogas, that's the topic of today. Transforming rural Cambodia. So while this is one of the topics of today, I would like to say a few things just about Tempe Garden Foundation, as we call it, TGF. We're a British UK registered NGO with MOUs of different ministries in Cambodia, and we're working in Chikrang, in a district in Siem Reap province, since 2008. And over the years, we evolved in four different projects, which we believe are interacting with each other, which are children's education, income generation, healthcare, and water and sanitation. And one of those activities we do now since about four or five years is the biogas construction, which I believed after discussing with Paul and Bill would be perfect to showcase today, but for certain reasons, which we will see throughout the whole presentation. Overall, yeah, as most of your NGOs as well, we work in partnership with our communities, more or less grassroots based. So we go in the villages and get feedback from beneficiaries, villagers, village chiefs, commune chiefs, and local authorities on how to implement our strategies and ideas, and working very, very closely with all throughout the whole project and activities. When we go into the idea of today, maybe it's good also to look first in the traditional cooking situation and methods in rural Cambodia. As I believe everybody probably grew up or knows, is still one of the most common thing is that cooking involves wood fire stoves or open fired or charcoal stoves. There are quite some challenges behind those usage. Yeah, I just wrote a few things down here, such as health impact, environmental concerns, and time and labor. When your health impact, very often women and children are involved in the cooking process. So with the smoke which is produced during charcoal use and wood fire use, they are always carried to serious health risk. And I think that can lead to certain lung problems or lung diseases. When we look in the environmental concerns, then deforestation and air pollution are quite big points to name here. If we think about charcoal and wood to use every day for cooking, then we can think quite far how many trees per year need to be cut off to ensure a source for cooking day by day. And when it comes to time and labor, also here, mainly, at least in our area, mainly women are collecting firewood, and that's quite time consuming and also physically demanding. And we believe that this time could be used in different ways, more productive activities for either income generation or education, if we find other solutions. And one of those sustainable solutions we looked into as TGF was biogas, which is one way to offer a cleaner, healthier, and more efficient way to cook while addressing all the challenges I talked about. So the biogas as a cleaner, sustainable part and alternative, what you see here is actually one of the constructions of a so-called digester, which I will explain a little bit more in detail, which on other pictures you won't see because it's an underground container built by bricks and concrete which is the main part of this whole construction. But step by step, let's see it as a very, very simple way: biogas, energy out of waste. So when we say like we need a certain poop or manure, and in our area it's mainly cows, what we are looking for. But you will see later it can be buffaloes, it can be sheep, it can be pigs. So cows eat, cows poop, and we might just consider this always as part of a disgusting part laying around somewhere, but it actually has a hidden power when we put it in those special tanks. We just had a picture before of it, and those digesters are they are called as they are called. And when there is no light and no air coming in those digesters, then tiny little helpers called microbes turn that waste, that manure, into biogas, which then can be used for clean cooking, and in other parts of our planet also for lights. In our area, we are focusing on cooking. So it's like composting. We're trying to get the superpower out of the poop. Very simple scene is this construction here. And so the renewable energy out of manure needs this first main construction, which we saw in the first picture, this digester, which is under the ground. And as I said, it's the main part of this whole process is going on inside this digester. It will need an inlet and a certain outlet as well. The inlet you have seen in the video is mainly a concrete ring in our area where manure, cow manure with water is mixed and then get let into this digester. And as mentioned before, the digester doesn't let any air or light in it. So it's dark, no air in it. So there over a while, from those mix of manure and water, we have certain gas, biogas produced mainly on methane. And this can be through pipe systems, get outlet to, in our case, directly to the kitchen and to gas stove, cooking stoves. If the digester gets filled day by day, it gets an overload, and through the outlet, there is then the end product coming out, which is a very slurry part, but highly nutritious and can be used later as fertilizer. As we see here, manure could be buffalo, cattle, goat, sheep, and pig manure. But if nothing else added, also human manure, human toilet waste could be used. So that's why we say here also latrines can be also connected to the digester. In very short, what we saw also in the video, it's very, very simple. The whole process, the digester needs to be feeded with primarily manure, easy accessible in rural Cambodia, in our area, mainly cow manure. Inside this digester, which is constructed, the bacteria starts and breaking down the waste. Didn't want to go too much into detail there, but breaking down the waste to produce their end product, which is gas, which is mainly composed of methane. And this biogas gets through pipe systems directly to the kitchen and cooking stoves for cleaner and efficient cleaner cooking. And as also mentioned, the end product, so not the biogas is not the only thing which is very helpful, but also through the process, we got this nutrition-rich slurry, and that's very, very easily to use on rice paddies, on home gardens, and promote another sustainable way of fertilizer and agriculture. Maybe a little bit more in detail to what we are doing throughout our projects. So there's different sizes of digesters and biogas constructions. We are at the moment working with households, without thoughts only, and therefore a 4 cubic meter digester is a perfect size for a household of about 5 to 7 people who are cooking 3 times a day and including boiling water throughout the day as well. After construction of those biogas constructions, we have 2 options to start the whole process. The main option, number 2 in our area, which probably 90% of the households we are working with used, is to put at the beginning around 700 to 1,000 kilo of cow manure, fresh cow manure with water in this biogas construction, in the digester. And then after 3 days, we have already gas to use. If there would be not, if it would be better for them to just use day by day buckets from their cows, as the number of cows might be a little bit lower than in other families, then a bucket per day in the digester for about 2 to 3 weeks, and then they can start using the biogas. To maintain this biogas construction and have constant gas flowing for the family of 5 to 7 people, 3 times cooking per day, we need 1 bucket per day in a ratio of 1 to 1 with water to feed the digester to have constant production of biogas. When talking about the total project costs over the years, they raised because they increased because of increasement of construction materials. So this year it's approximately $600 for the whole construction, where we as TGF support with $350. The household contribution themselves is between 100 and maximum of 150, and the remaining costs are covered by the National Biogas Program, which over the years changed a little bit, but those are the actual cost estimations and support from government side and from our side. When it comes to construction, there are licensed and trained constructors, which are certified, trained by the Provincial Department of Agriculture, and only those ones will be sent from the Department of Agriculture to us to support us. They give a 10-year warranty of the construction, everything excluding the pipes on the above the ground. When it comes to cost saving, it's quite difficult to get an exact number, but what we try to show is when we did our survey of households using charcoal over the whole year, we got to a calculation of around $70 to $75 annual charcoal usage for a family of 5 to 7 people, only on charcoal. So that's not including any other time they might need on firewood or buying other parts of fuel. Plus, not in those costs included are also that the nutrition-rich fertilizer, the slurry which comes out, helps to fertilize their own garden, so they have less costs in buying fertilizer. Plus, we have certain families selling this fertilizer to nearby households as well. So it's overall many points of cost savings and time savings having the biogas construction. How we choose and how we integrate our participants. So we usually, as you saw, the TGF has 4 programs. We usually try to have our beneficiaries in different programs participating. So we have something called the Integrated Farmer Field School, where selected households going through a 14-week training session on different agriculture methods, poultry, vegetable growing, fish cultivation, feed making, composting. So we take participants from those households with at least 2 cows who are committed to use and maintain the whole construction and who are able to contribute the household contribution. But I have to say, if there is a difficulty, we also try to support and get it done in a certain monthly rate. And when it comes to the commitment, I can tell you also the commitment is it's very fast rewarding system after the construction. So the commitment is very high from all our participants as they see the time saving and the cost saving factor. What we tried now as well is we have agriculture cooperatives with about 100 small scale farmers. And we are trying at the moment also to have some of those farmers included in our program, getting biogas constructions at their households, and probably trying to scale, the idea is to scale the fertilizer usage in throughout those agriculture cooperative. And if possible, somehow also to look into the gas exchange, so biogas, either cheap selling or giving out to the agriculture cooperative members as well. That's something we are at the moment discussing. To give a little bit of an overview, what we did since 2020, so we started first with 5 constructions, and then it was stable around 8, one time up to 10. So in total, we have 39 constructions at the moment. And we just recently reviewed our income generation strategy. And in the second year, which is 2025 of the new strategy, we're trying to significantly improve and increase this number on up to 20 to 30 households next year, if we have the right fundings for it, because we really believe that the points I mentioned before, that there should be more households in our target area which having access to biogas. Some key factors to consider. So as we see, it's a might be a good solution, but yeah, we need certain parts done that to see it as a right fit. So first, the availability for such waste. So as we saw, we need a certain starting procedure and a day-by-day feeding of the digester. There needs to be a sufficient livestock of manure. So in our case, we're focusing mainly on cows, but it could be pigs, buffaloes, etc. But we found that at least 2 cows per household are needed to be selected in our program. Then even the water mixture doesn't need a lot of water, but water access is a crucial part of it, especially if you think about times of March, April, May, maybe even special this year where it was quite a hot, long, dry season. So households will need a certain water access and sufficient water access throughout the year to be able also in those dry season and long periods to fill up the digester with water. And the third part, the household engagement, willing to learn the basic maintenance, and if something happened, they mainly call us first, but also the team of the constructors is always coming back to the site if something happened. And the household engagement, I can really say from our experience, is the part which is probably one of the easier parts of habit change and engagement throughout the project. I think the biogas project is one of the parts where the household engagement is very, very high and very easy adapted. As we can see, the benefits are quite multifaceted. So we have reduced reliance on wood, charcoal and other fuels, which is environmental protection. We have less smoke, we have very, very clean cooking solutions. So that means especially for women and children, less lung diseases. We have time saving for firewood collection and freeing up time for other activities. Time saving on certain areas. I have to say, of course, there's some time preparation needed to collect manure, to feed the digester, but overall the time savings are much higher than going out and select firewood by yourself. We have an improved sanitation, which manages the waste and reduces the disease spread. And when you think of the gas, the methane usage, what we have through the digester, the whole process starts as well with cow poo and cow manure and any animal manure also outside this digester in the free air. The only thing, it will take longer and the methane is in less concentrated. But that means if we can capture this in our digester, we actually reduce the greenhouse gas emissions. Fertilizer as a byproduct, as you saw, you have actually this slurry fertilizer coming out as an end product, which is a great agriculture boost. And we have the households themselves, the control of their energy source as well. And the main part, how could we think that other NGOs or other areas of Cambodia could actually benefit from it? I really highly believe it's easy to replicate. It's depending on fundings. I think for all kind of sizes of NGOs, it is possible to get a project agreement with the provincial department of agriculture and to have those constructors coming and supporting from the government. And I think the results are immediate for the beneficiary. So I think it's easy to replicate. And I believe fundings for this possibility is also probably easier if addressing it in the right way, because it's covers health, poverty, gender equality, environmental friendly, it's very sustainable. So that's why we believe it could be a good fit for other NGOs as well. And it's easy to scale, as we still have the biogas program going on for a few more years, at least in Cambodia, with the government backed from the provincial department. I think it's, as we're trying as well right now, if we get the right funding, it's an outsource of our, so I have the team supervising and monitoring, but actually the construction itself is done by licensed and trained constructors. So we believe it's an easy to scale operation as well. I have a few more pictures just that you see how it's, so one more time here in the middle, that's actually a bigger digester, but there you can see one more time what is actually underground, which you don't see anymore. So that's the main part. When you see on the when you look at the picture on the top on the right hand side, this is this part here is the outlet of the where the gas comes out. So underneath here is this digester. Here is one more time the inlet, and here is the outlet where the slurry comes out. Here it's filled one time. Here's a slurry coming out at the part. And we have always two cooking stoves in the kitchen. So I'm very open to all questions you might have after this short presentation. If there's anything else you would like to know, which we cannot cover during this time today, please reach out to me, bjorn@tgfcambodia.com, and just, yeah, always open to support and help and share any information. So I'm open for any discussion. If it's okay, I stop sharing and then I can see everyone. And thank you very much, Jan.
Well, Bjorn, pardon me. Let me be the first to speak and thank you for the time and energy you put into that presentation. It was well prepared and well delivered and much appreciated. And one of our core values for the CLLC group, Cambodia Leadership Learning Community, is that we know that we all get better, smarter, faster when we work together and share information. You've made a nice contribution to that. So I want to share my voice of appreciation, and then let's hear from others in the room. What questions do we have? I'll give you an easy one to start with. You said you've done 38 of these so far over the last 4 years. How many of them are still operating?
And so all are operating. We actually also had only one which needed a repairment of a stove part, which was easy to repair. So all are still operating. As I also mentioned, I think that's very, very important to mention as well. Throughout the construction, everything which is done by the constructor, apart from the parts which go into the kitchen, are having a warranty of 10 years by the company and by the government. So everything are still operating, and every single one is still in use.
Who has a question more for Bjorn?
What is the lifespan of this?
That's a tricky question because we know that the warranty is about 10 years. When talk to the constructor, they actually say the construction will hold for 20, 25 years. So it's a huge lifespan for the initial costs. But I have to be very honest, we are just in there since 4 years. So our experience are from the last 4 years. So far, everything works pretty well. We have no challenges or no major challenges at all. As I mentioned, just like this one household who had actually problems on one of the stoves, and that was easy to fix. On the same point, maybe I have to mention, we believe it's a very, very good solution in rural Cambodia, as we need animal manure. And also, we have to see if, looking into other developing countries, if you come to a certain income stage of the whole country, more and more people, probably more and more households, will get away from farming in the future, maybe in the next 20, 30, 50 years, and more families will probably have other income than their farm. So it's reliable on animal waste. So I think for the next 20 years, it's sustainable. I cannot look into the future, how our area, for example, looks in 30 years and if there's still enough cows, buffaloes around.
I see a question in the chat from Dara, that where is the location that can request for having this project? Would Siem Reap City be eligible? And who are the people you can contact?
So we have a project agreement and now also in the progress of an MOU with the Ministry of Agriculture, Fishery and Forestry. But yeah, we have the program agreement with the Provincial Department of Agriculture in Siem Reap, and that would be the right way to connect. But yeah, you can contact us. I can give you the contact, or my team can share all the contacts, because they have then the contacts also for the constructors, which are, as I mentioned, so it's not our team doing any construction, it's the licensed constructors who are working. Mm-hmm. On the whole construction. So it's the Provincial Department of Agriculture and Siem.
Good to know. Mark, does Mali, Mark has his hand up.
Yes, thank you for your very clear presentation. Congratulations for that. I have one question concerning safety. This is gas, so it's flammable. Could explode potentially, I don't know. And because it's mainly methane gas, it's extremely bad for the CO2, or it's one of the worst gases in terms of impact on climate change and global warming. So what are the risks there?
Okay, maybe I start with the second part. Thanks for the questions, very, very good questions. I think let me start with the second part of your question. So we have the methane production also happening with all the manure laying around in the fields in a smaller and longer process. But methane goes through, is also produced through all cow manure, all manure which laying around. So at the moment, what those biogas construction that the digester do, it's compressed gas, which then later gets burnt. And you're absolutely right. It's but after the process of cooking, the actual methane is less than it would be out in the fields left by without using it. That's one part. And the safety concern is one of the major parts on our sorts of upscaling. So we wanted to upscale in certain areas because we thought, okay, at the moment, we can only address certain households. We would like to see that either that households surrounded households could use it in the same, in one construction, or even on a community base. And in official discussions at the moment with the constructors and with the district, having exactly those concerns, they say in the household size, the risks are very, very low because the construction has certain different spots where it's completely closed system of gas and where you have certain regulars in there as well. And you have a meter to see everything. So the households got trained on look at those meters all the time. And so the risk at the moment, we believe the risk is very low. That's also one part why we only work with the licensed and trained constructors from the companies. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But the risk might be higher, and that's why we are having trouble to not to scale it on household side, but to make it as a community oven, because then it comes to more people would use the gas outlet. And this is exactly where the government says that might be too much risk, and that's where we have at the moment trouble to upscale it on a community base. Yeah, I hope I could answer your question, Mark. Yeah.
Well, and I would imagine if you were taking that to scale, there might be some way to have a pressure relief valve so that if the pressure built up to a certain level, it would allow some gas to escape rather than continually building up pressure. That I think in America with public gas distribution systems, that's the way it's controlled. But I'm not an expert.
That's true, Bill. Yeah, that's true. But the concerns are safety issues, but also in the so apparently, which is not our experience, but apparently the experience from other areas, it was tried to have certain households around one construction using the same biogas digester, and it was not about the risk or the safety issue. It was more like keeping it maintained. So it's the digester is on one particular land, who is maintaining it all the time, who's filling it up. And then if it comes in the future to certain disputes during the families and suddenly one family was out of this. So that was more like the concerns from the what we heard was raised from the yeah. Authority side. Yeah.
We've got another question from a couple of our folks that work up on Phnom Kulin. And wondering, say they don't have any cows up there, but they have chickens and pigs, ducks. What do you know about using alternative forms of poop?
Yes, yeah. So any kind of animal manure, and as I mentioned, even human toilet waste can be used. It just needs to have a certain. So depending on the household family size. We figured out that it's easier and less time consuming to have a certain number of cows, which is then easy accessible for having this daily rate. If you have pigs, chicken, geese possible, I think you need a higher number of those animals, and then yeah, getting those is absolutely fine as well. Yeah, absolutely fine. Yeah. Has to be probably discussed. Maybe also a good partner to talk with the provincial department, just to see on maybe they have exact numbers what they have as selection criteria for someone who has chickens and geese. Maybe you need a certain number. I believe you would need a certain number just to have this constant feeding of the digester.
Well, this is a very interesting conversation. We have a little time left. Who has the next question for Bjorn?
I see here just in the, I found the chat. As I said, I'm not sure. I found the chat, and here's how much gas can we consume per day from this project? So at the moment for our households, our average household size in Chikrang in our area by surveys and also by the yearly data we get is 5 household members. So we were discussing with the department, with the constructors, a household size for 5 to maximum 7 people using gas 3 times a day, so morning, lunch, and evening, plus boiling water throughout the day. So therefore, a 4 cubic meter digester filled every day with 1 bucket, so that's around 20 kilo of fresh manure, with the water 1-to-1 ratio is enough gas for this family. For constant use day by day.
Sounds like quite a bit. Quite a bit of gas availability.
Absolutely right, yeah. And as I said, every household has 2 gas stoves, so it's also very, very practical, very easy, clean cooking. Yeah?
Yeah, I think Mark wants to jump in with another question or comment.
Could you consider using it to generate electricity?
And so what I found in other parts is they use the same construction for lights. Yeah, for so you need certain light bulbs and certain light systems, which we haven't have looked into it because we found that in our area, solar lights are quite often a solution for, because right now the panels are quite cheap in Asia. And if it's with small batteries, it's a much cheaper solution. And we figured out that we are only focusing on cooking, but yes, it is used for lighting. I found projects, maybe I can look it up and I can show you what I found. I think it was in some parts of Africa used as a lighting as well, yeah? Lighting, absolutely, yeah.
Salin, maybe I can ask you a question. I know that we've partnered with you on a couple of agricultural programs. One of them was on increasing rice production, but another one was you were teaching entrepreneurial skills to 50 farmers. How might something like this fit in with some of your programs?
You ask again.
Yeah, we hear you.
Can you please ask again?
Oh, yes, of course. In working with you over the past couple of years, I know that you've done family gardens, you've done increased rice production projects, but you've also done one program of entrepreneurial training for farmers, helping them to be more creative in the way they go about their farming. How might this fit with that entrepreneurial farmer idea?
I think related to biogas, it's quite new here, and we don't have any farmers who have this. And for AHA, we just focus more on like rice and vegetable, and yeah, I'm just considering about this project, but it costs, I think, quite a lot of money. So we need to consider about that. But what I'm thinking is the target area, where are the best place to implement this project? Because right now in some area, you know, cow raising or chicken raising is become less and less, but just in more like a rural area, like people still have cows and buffalo, something like that. So we, yeah, I'm thinking about that as well.
Yeah, I think Bjorn made that point pretty clearly, that criteria would be that a family would need to have at least two cows or two sources of quantity for the manure.
You know what? Right now, like cow is cheap, so it's not demanding in the market. So more and more family stop raising cows in most area.
If I might jump in there, I mean, it is possible. I showcased this in the simple picture in the beginning. It would be possible. That's also something we look into it, but it's also tricky. But it could be possible to have certain household veterans connected to go all in one digester. So it doesn't need to have animal waste if we get enough human waste collected throughout the day. 20 kilos sounds quite a lot, but that's another option to add this. So if there is not enough animal waste, there could be collection from veterans involved as well. And coming back, when I hear vegetable and rice farming, so our beneficiaries using it for their rice fields as well. We don't have exact numbers because they also use other fertilizer or other things. So we don't know exactly the outcome yet on it. But we, on the vegetable garden, we only hear good results. So they have either home gardens or one of our newest beneficiaries, she used the slurry for corn, for a cornfield. And she said the corn was much easier growing, much better growing than before. So I think it's also on vegetable gardening, the slurry is really, 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 really nutritious rich, yeah.
So you mean we can take like the manure from the digester as a fertilizer for crops?
Absolutely. So what usually happens, so what very often happens in countryside or in rural Cambodia is you take the manure directly, yeah, like you can get cow manure and you take it directly to your plants. But what happens actually is through the digester, so you have first the manure mixed with water getting in this digester, so you get the gas out, and then certain products are not inside anymore in the manure, but it gets the slurry, it gets quite like a creamy part which comes out. But this one then can be used right on the field without watering, without anything, and it's even. I also found I will try to send it out. I found a little paper where it says that this one is richer than the actual cow manure at the start. So that's a win-win situation. Yeah, that's why we really think this fertilizer would be also good to later either keep it. It's quite difficult because when you keep it stored, then it dries out, then you need to water it later again. So if it's used directly, it could be also transported to nearby households, farmers, to use as fertilizer. If you have enough of the fertilizer produced, you can actually also have an income generating activity for the community, for the household who has a biogas constructor. Yeah.
Wow, great, thank you. And do you have any like experience or sample of using the human manure for the biogas?
So we personally, so we at TGF, we didn't do that yet, but we were discussed. So we had this in discussion with the constructor as well. So they have already they construct this all over Cambodia, and they have already constructed digesters with a second inlay from the latrine, which then means that nothing else can be put in the latrine as well. Yeah. So, but yeah, the households got trained. We in our area, not yet. But if we probably get to a point that we run out of families to select, we will look further into that. As I mentioned before, it's to have this one bucket. We at the moment, we believe that animal manure is the faster, easier way. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. I think it's beneficial for farmer. Yeah.
They have absolutely.
Gas, and they have also have like the fertilizer, cut down their cost of farming.
Yeah, absolutely.
And living. Yeah.
Right. We just got another question in the chat. Bjorn said, "Do you think toilet waste is enough to produce biogas for the big stove?" We have a regular cooking for our 250 students per day, and we cook two times a day with a big pot. Now, is maybe some clarification on the question. Are we talking about from a biogas generator or from human waste toilet into the biogas generator?
If there's no clarification on this council, there's actually two parts I would like to ask you, because does it mean that 250 students per day, they would, their latrine waste would go in this digester? Because as we mentioned, two times a day, I've no idea what two times, what 250 people, how much gas they need, because the amount of time you're using for cooking might be something similar to a household cooking for three times. But this is something the constructors and the Department of Agriculture, they know, they have different tables where we use one of the smaller sized digesters, but they can build bigger digesters. So if there is a need, if they say that this would need the double the size of a digester, then they probably that would work, which probably means that there would be more manure needed as well. But if that is, for example, probably at a school, right? Probably at a school. So if you maybe get all the latrines combined to this digester, maybe something to do with the math. I think it is possible, but we have to figure out if that is really a sustainable way for having both times covered with biogas all the time and how. But honestly, I cannot give the answer. I think it is very, very good to have a consultant with the constructor or the ministry then, the provincial department.
Yeah, the engineering would determine the answer to that question.
Yeah. I hope I could help a little bit. Yeah, I couldn't give an exact answer to this one. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Now that's but that's a good answer to say that it really is dependent on the engineering and the chemistry that goes on within the biogas generator. We're just past the 11 o'clock hour for all of you. So before we transition here, let me make sure there's not one more question, one more burning question in the group that we'd like to have Bjorn speak to before we make our transition. No? All quiet? Okay. Bjorn, I thank you very much for your time and energy to put this together. I think we always benefit from fresh, new ideas. Sometimes we hear it the first time, and if it's like me, I remember a third of it the first time I hear it, and then I get more questions. And I saw you put your email address in there, Bjorn at TGF Cambodia. So I presume that if someone had a question, could they reach out to you?
Sure, absolutely. So first of all, thanks again for the time today and that I could talk about our project. And I hope it's inspiring for other NGOs. And I know it's there might be challenges for you. So I put my email in the chat. And if anyone has questions later which might come up, just let me know. Just reach out. Either by email, or I also can put my WhatsApp or Telegram number in there, whatever is easier for you. I write it in the chat soon, and yeah, just reach out. And thanks again for everyone to listen. And I hope we can scale it up to have some more biogas constructions supporting in other areas of Cambodia. Thanks to everyone. Thanks, Bill, to let me talk. Yeah.
Well, thank you for your generous sharing of your time and your expertise for this.